This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
They would have a high chance of averting a catastrophe that would lead to the deaths of tens, hundreds of thousands of people and disastrously reduce our security. They know that. So by taking their own personal risk, like the 5,000 people who went to prison as draft resistors in Vietnam, and by the people here who took risks with their institution and their privacy, by taking that risk, they could avert this. So my message is to them, don't do what I did. Don't wait till the war has started. Don't wait till the bombs have fallen against Iran or earlier Iraq. Don't wait till the engine of this war is unstoppable. Before the war, take the risk, reveal what you know to be the truth, reveal the truth under the lies of your own bosses and your superiors, obey your oath to the Constitution, which every one of those officials took, not to the Commander-in-Chief, not to superior officers, but to the Constitution of the United States, which they know is being violated.
Pentagon whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg, Unitarian leader Robert West, and Democratic presidential candidate Mike Gravel. To get a copy of today's broadcast, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Sharif Fido, produced John Hamilton. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Independence Day Talk Radio with host Lisa Loving. Today's guest is Ajamu Umi, a member of Occupy Northeast's Black Working Group and one of five organizations that have agreed to support homeowners in foreclosure.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to broadcast the 26th annual Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival. Thursday through Sunday, July 4th through 7th, KBOO will be broadcasting live from Tom McCall Waterfront Park for the Portland metro area and throughout the state with our partners in Ashland, Bend, Newport, Salem, Warm Springs, and more. Internet listeners can tune in to KBOO.fm. Again, that's the 26th annual Waterfront Blues Festival, a benefit for the Oregon Food Bank, because no one should be hungry. More information on costs, benefit to KBOO members, performing artists, and more can be found at kboo.fm.
I'm Bobby Davis. After a life of crime and addiction and 18 years in prison, I decided to make a change. I wrote and illustrated a children's book that was recently published. Who says people can't change? Hear my story. Tune into Prison Pipeline July 8th at 6:30 p.m.
It's 8:04 a.m. and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is the 4th of July special talk radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. KBOO Community Radio, progressive call-in live talk radio every weekday. Thank you very much. We're live in Studio 2 this morning with one of our favorite community organizers, Ajamu Umi. Ajamu, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I don't know why. It was tough to get up out of bed this morning, but it's totally worth it to come down here because we're going to be talking about today's benefit for Alicia Jackson to help raise money to build her a sustainable water system. It's going to be 3 p.m. in Peninsula Park in North Portland, and everyone's welcome to come. Put a little bit of cash on the table over there. And Ajamu, talk a little bit about who is Alicia Jackson? I bet a lot of our listeners already know, but for people that don't, what's going on here?
Well, this all occurred originally on May 1st of last year when hundreds of community members decided to get involved and help Alicia move back into her house and reclaim her house that had been stolen from her through an illegal foreclosure process and a predatory lending situation. So since May 1st of 2012, Alicia's been back in her house in Northeast Portland. She's been living there productively, paying utilities, keeping the house up, contributing to the neighborhood like anyone else who lives productively in a neighborhood. And so today's event is simply a part of the ongoing effort to support her and other people who are fighting against these illegal bank practices of stealing homes from people. And I just want to say that this activity today is sponsored by a new organization here in Portland called Housing is for Everyone Hyphy, which has evolved from many different people who have been working within this movement who have come together to form this organization. It's a community organization that's committed to addressing housing issues for everyone, not just homeowners in distress, but homeowners, people who rent, people who are houseless, everybody needs somewhere to live. So Hyphy is about addressing that, and we're kicking it off with our first really public event today at Peninsula Park at 3 p.m. called 4th of July. There's going to be live music. The group Speaker Minds is going to be playing. Jester and Friends, Mike Crenshaw. There's going to be food. So people should come out. It's just kind of a day to just kick back. If you're not someone like me who celebrates this day, then but you want to do something positive and productive, it's a great way to come out and just relax with good people and contribute to a good cause.
You know, actually, Peninsula Park is going to be a fabulous place for anyone to be today because I'm pretty sure that the super cool Freemasons that have some of their buildings over there on North Mississippi are having a great big open picnic there too. A lot of people are going to Peninsula Park, which is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. And that's a funky thing too because Portland Parks Bureau, who actually I really love some of the people over there, they've been putting together all these celebrations of Peninsula Park. And one of the holdups that they've had to deal with, people have had to deal with, is that park used to be segregated, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That was a segregated park.
This is what I understand, yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway, listeners, we're here. We're talking about today's benefit for Alicia Jackson. We're talking about water systems, foreclosure prevention, home defense, and the 4th of July. Really, I just think that these things all go together. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for your call. Listeners, what do you think about that? Do you know anything about water systems or foreclosure prevention or what's happening to democracy in the United States right now? We'd love to. The phone lines are open. 503-231-8187. It's 4th of July. It's a sketchy holiday for a lot of people, but I really love when we celebrate Interdependence Day. And that's really what we're talking about with Housing is for Everyone. And Ajamu's here. Ajamu, we've had you on these airwaves a few times. You should probably be a KBOO volunteer. You should probably have your own show. I will continue to nag you about that. But talk about how you came to this issue. I first met you when the big Occupy Portland thing happened. And a lot of us,
when Occupy rolled out all over the country, all over the world, what was remarkable about that is that we all could see each other. It was like for once, we all came together in the streets and went, wait a minute, hey, what's your name?
Right.
I do this, I do that. And now the encampment was pulled apart, but that Occupy is still taking place. And a lot of Occupy projects have spun out. And it continues to, people keep doing all over the country really amazing organizing around communities, specific people, housing, even disaster relief. But talk about Ajamu Umu. Talk about how you came to this issue. Housing is for everyone.
Well, I think it's been a really cool process because most of the people like myself had been involved in activism for years. I came here from California. I've been actively involved in many African black community issues, what people would call black nationalist issues, whatever people want to call it. And from that work, which I'm still involved in, coming here, meeting people through, like you said, many of the Occupy circles, and understanding that a core issue for a lot of people is housing. I mean, you can take any issue and have a debate with people about how relevant they think it is, but everybody needs housing. So that's something that everybody is qualified to talk about. So it made sense to me to address it on that basic level, especially since here in Portland, there is a real history of gentrification. There is a movement to move people of color and poor working class white people out of these areas that are considered high valued property areas and to move them into other places like East Portland, Gresham. And so this is something that I thought it would be good to get involved in and work as a way to get to know this community being new here. I've been able to do a lot of that, meet a lot of people, understand through this work the history of what's happened to particularly, you know, African people, black people here in Portland. And so that's how I got involved in the work, by joining Occupy Northeast, the black working group, and meeting people who are struggling to hold on to their homes and understanding that history and just how the process has developed here with banks and developers basically poaching houses and turning around, or as they say, flipping them and selling them, making money, and actually in many instances cheating people out of the homes to be able to do that.
And later in the hour, I will pull up a few reports and studies about fraud in the mortgage industry. There's so much going on about that now. And the federal government has stepped up and put sanctions and punishments on some corporations for that fraud. But it's absolutely slap on the wrist. We even saw that here in the state of Oregon. There was just recently a foreclosure fraud settlement that's going to give thousands and thousands of homeowners, according to the Attorney General's office, a payout who they say were improperly foreclosed on, but the people are only going to get like $2,000. Anyway, we'll get to that later. People, this is the 4th of July. It's special morning talk radio. And do you know something about water systems or foreclosure prevention or community support? We want to hear from you. 503-231-8187. Don't wait till the end of the hour, okay? We had one of the coolest callers yesterday call, the very last caller. I just wanted to pull her right through the phone and bring her into the studio. So please call, and don't wait till the end of the hour. And we have Joanne on the phone. Joanne, welcome. It's always a pleasure.
Please do call in before the end of the program, you good callers. Anyway, I wish I had never qualified to come out of my mother's womb. And I'd also like to have some honest hope that public housing will get deprivatized. And you know what? Also, I say bah humbug to celebrating the 4th of July.
All right. Joanne, she, as usual, puts some burning pots on the table. You know, Joanne's issues around public housing are deep. And it's really hard to dig underneath the public housing stuff because, and you know, I know some people that work for the Portland Housing Bureau. I know some wonderful people that work on these issues. But darn, there is just like an iron curtain over what people can and can't find out about how public housing works in our local community. And boy, I've interviewed interviewed so many people that feel really freaked out in their public housing, but they can't speak out because they're paranoid that they're going to lose it completely. And I don't know if you ever do any work with that, but 503-231-8187. People call and join this conversation because this is a big one. 4th of July, we're putting some hot burning stuff on the table. But Ajahn, we talk a little bit about the public housing piece.
Well, and that's the thing about, you know, housing is for everyone, hyphy. The way we're approaching this problem is we're starting to form really strong links with other organizations doing similar work in other cities. And slowly but surely, a network of housing justice folks is being formed. And what we're finding in this work is that this problem of housing is something that we believe strongly, and I'm convinced personally, is only going to be resolved through mass political involvement of people on a community level. I don't think this problem is going to be resolved through any city agency, any county agency, any federal agency. Certainly no corporation is going to solve the problem. They're the source of the problem. So it's going to only be solved by people coming together. And when we're talking about public housing, when we're talking about people who are houseless, all of these issues, we know that there are many solutions. There are many models that we are studying that we can look at. There are people who are addressing these problems through cooperative housing, through methods of people getting together and finding ways to live. And so that's what we're going to be militantly approaching here in Portland, raising this question of, and it's going to require getting people to look at the whole question of housing a lot differently than we currently do. You know, we have this model that's been drilled into us today that if you live somewhere, you have to pay somebody to live there. And that's the only way you can live somewhere, like as if that's the only way it's ever been in the history of human civilization. And so therefore, that's the only way it ever will be. And we completely reject that model, especially since the people who control property today got it illegally. They got it through theft and murder. And we don't see any reason why we should recognize their authority in that regard. And so we think that we want to try to change how people see this whole situation. Mm. We don't have to pay anybody to live somewhere. We can decide to live collectively with one another. And so I think people are going to see some very new, creative, and innovative approaches to getting people into decent housing that don't fit that model and that are really going to change the game in terms of how people are able to find somewhere to live and finding solutions to these problems. Mm.
And listeners, how are you celebrating this day? Are you like Joanne, you don't want to celebrate? I know a lot of people have very strong feelings about the 4th of July, and we would love to hear from you. We are here, we're talking about the big benefit for Alicia Jackson in Peninsula Park today at 3. Everyone's welcome to come. We're hoping people will put a little cash on the table to support Alicia Jackson. So that's its own kind of celebration, right? It's in a way, it's kind of it's kind of leapfrogging over the traditional blow stuff up celebration. But anyway, really, people, give us a call. How are you going to celebrate today? 503-231-8187. This is Call In Talk Radio, so call in. Okay. One of the things that strikes me about these issues around the housing and work that you've done, a lot of people have done. Now there's quite a few fascinating people and efforts going on. And Ajahn, can you call out some of the efforts around community organizing that people could plug into right now? We're talking about HIFE, Housing is for Everyone. It's at housingisforeveryone.org if you want to go look it up. But there's other great things going on too. So we don't have to be all negative about the 4th of July. What is it that people are doing that we can encourage people to plug into right now, if you can?
Well, I mean, of course, there's Right to Dream, too, and all of the great work that they're doing to raise the question of houseless people and their effort to get the question of people having a right to live as a legal question, and the work that they're doing in that regard. And they certainly need support and assistance in that work. There are other organizations like Sisters of the Road, Community of Tenants. There are a lot of organizations along with Housing is for Everyone that are really attempting to address this question. The work that we're doing, you know, we've do a lot of door-to-door work, talking to people, just raising the consciousness around this issue of housing, and then building an infrastructure that can address it and really began to physically, as we've done, get people in houses, you know, as we've done over the last year and a half, begin to do that on a much wider scale. So there, you know, there are a lot of ways. I mean, people are certainly welcome to contact us at housingisforeveryone.org, and we can plug you in on whatever level you want to be in on this housing justice question.
Housing justice. One of the things that surprises me, too, is when I looked at some of the people that you have that you're doing home defense for, some of these people are just amazing community organizers and nonprofit operators of their own that are doing the right thing, and they're making the world a better place. And the banks are trying to steal their houses, too. I mean, it staggers the imagination. And I know that there are some people out there that want to blame the homeowners. And we can talk about that a little bit later in the hour. If you are someone who has had your home foreclosed or you're facing foreclosure and you've got a story of what the you know, it's not even so much the banks. It's these institutions, these things that are they're debt sellers and buyers and right. resellers. The debt market itself freaks me out, and that's an issue of its own. So let's go to the phone lines, 503-231-8187. We got some callers. Did we say Brian is on the line?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's going on?
Listen, I you know, the Independence Day is such a, you know, it's such a paradox for most of us thinking people in America. And, you know, I served my country for 4 years and, you know, has been a productive member of society. I live in 240 square feet, and I'm barely hanging on to that. But I always think about this. When Abbie Hoffman was on trial back in the late 60s, he cited they were asking him, you know, very, you know, almost mockingly, where the Woodstock Nation was, and Abbie Hoffman cited the Sioux chief, I can't remember his name, who said, "My home is in my heart," because, you know, they had, the natives had lost their homes, you know, and he said, "This is where the Woodstock Nation is, in my heart." So no matter where I live, and, you know, I've been homeless a couple times, you know, I always have a home in my heart, and, you know, and I want to make it, desperately I want to make it a reality. But I think as long as we keep our homes and our hearts, and we look to people like Native Americans who all completely lost their homes for just generation after generation, we can, you know, we can take a lot of faith out of that.
All right, Brian. Thanks a lot for calling. Sure. And the number to call, 503-231-8187. We're talking about interdependence. It's Interdependence Day. We're talking about the big event at Peninsula Park, 3 o'clock this afternoon, the 4th of July. It's going to be an incredible event with Mike Crenshaw. God, I love Mike Crenshaw. Speaker Minds. Wow. And it's going to be a benefit for Alicia Jackson. And we have another caller. Let's go. BJ, what's going on?
Well, I'm already here. Fireworks. I want to throw some crackers out there.
Uh-oh.
No. Well, I just don't, at my age, I am Joanne's age, I suppose. I don't want to come heads horns against the establishment. However, I would say it's very interesting to see what's going on in Egypt. Very interesting how they've been able to change governments, presidents, within a matter of a month or two. Isn't that amazing? It takes millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to it a lot on KBOO and other stations, and it's really important. I was interested in my case in going for Habitat for Humanity, possibly. However, well, let me take one question. What do you think of Habitat for Humanity? Any response to that?
Yeah, I think they're pretty cool. What do you think?
Well, again, I think this housing question is something that's going to have to be resolved through mass community involvement. And I think any kind of agency approach, the Habitat for Humanity approach, if you study those types of approaches, they are responses, I would argue, in lieu of mass community involvement. We have to create a situation where people are making the day-to-day decisions about how they live, and they're not beholden to any donors, they're not beholden to any contributors. They're not beholden to anybody other than the people they live with in their community. So again, it's a different model. It's a different way that people have to learn to begin thinking about housing. But nobody is going to solve this problem for us. There's too much money mm-hmm. being made by stealing people's homes and exploiting people who rent. And there's profitability in keeping people out of a house. Houselessness is profitable because if everybody had a house to live, that would obviously impact what housing would cost. So the fact that you have millions of people who don't have a place to live, that's a big part of the equation that keeps housing profitable as an industry. So, you know, we have to change this whole system. I don't see any process currently at work within this system that's going to solve the problem for us. The solution has to come from us.
So, BJ, this is what's really interesting. So, basically, Ajamu is kind of saying that he's talking about changing the whole paradigm of how we look at housing, which isn't the same as necessarily supporting Habitat for Humanity, which I think is a great organization. But what he's talking about is making it so that people don't have to struggle like that, or that there's not an expectation that people have to struggle like that for shelter. But this is what I want to ask you, BJ. So you brought this up about Egypt, right? I think that some of the biggest changes that we had in the history of the modern history of the United States have had to do with when the government is afraid of mm-hmm. there's a lot of poor people, right? So I'm thinking of the Great Depression. I'm thinking of the Great Society changes. I'm curious what you think about that. Like in your lifetime, have you seen moments when you felt as though the government was worried that there were too many poor people and that they were going to come and march on Washington? Can mm-hmm. you talk about that? When have you seen, to me, that's kind of what's happening in Egypt. That's a complicated situation in a lot of ways. I don't want to always like go rah, rah, revolution, because mm-hmm. like they're going to come and they're going to burn your house or what have you. But BJ, talk a little bit about that in your lifetime, in your experience. When have you seen mass movements in the United States and what do you feel like they achieved?
Well, first, Vietnam, when I came back from military over there, I saw it, and it was very interesting. In Los Angeles, I was involved in it, actually. It was interesting that I would go. Well, I was very peaceful then after in war. I was hurt in the war, so I was peaceful. And then I see now something like that happening with a huge population, much more people, and much more need. Now, one thing people do, when they go down to Sari's, for example, there's a gambling room in back. People should save their money and not gamble, and save it for your house, for your rent or your house. I always save for my house. My mother said, take a quarter of your money that you make, or a half, for your mortgage, and learn about mortgages and learn how it works. So you can pay as much down, and you're not subject to at mercy of the banks. We're at mercy for these big lending institutions. And this is a period now of big change. However, I don't want to see it go the other way, communism or something, where I lived in Canada for a while and lived under socialism, and also New Zealand, Australia. And when I came back to Southeast Asia, there's a lot of socialism, you might say. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to work pretty good, as long as it doesn't go to the extreme, because it becomes an opportunity for communism or some fascistic type of group to come in there, and then they have some kind of a brotherhood going on where it's their way, the high road or no other road. See?
All right. Okay. Thanks a ton for calling, BJ.
Thank you very much. And 4th of July, let's rave for whatever it is we stand for and try to be peaceful in whatever it is we do, you know?
Right on. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
This is Morning Talk Radio on KBOO. We are here on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're live in Studio 2 with Ajamu Umi. We have a couple of fascinating callers that have put some wild stuff on the table. And BJ was just talking about communism versus socialism and fascism. I bet somebody else will call and take that one on. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And we have Pam on the phone. Pam, thank you for calling. What do you have on your mind this morning?
Well, first of all, I'm not the Pam that called in yesterday. I hope she calls in as well.
She was cool. She was really cool. Yeah. She was calling in with a personal anecdote about Ayn Rand speaking at Reed College or something like that.
Yeah, she did.
Back in the day.
And interesting.
That's how she was. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm going to say something a little bit dangerous. First of all, you are two of my favorite people in the city. Now, in case you wonder about there's a lot of people in the city that I absolutely adore, that I know personally. Yeah. We all have those people, and we should, you know, adore them constantly. second of all, Jamu, I hope to see you on city council sometime or in a city bureau running it. Second of all, and I suppose that you may resist that at first, but I
you should have seen his face, but go ahead.
Okay. I come to that because I realize that our city government is also corrupt. It's our system promotes corruption, not just in D.C., not just on Wall Street, but clear down to our cities. And Ajamu, you're absolutely right that we need to fix that ourselves. It has to come from us. It's not going to come from outside. Absolutely not. So I'd like to encourage people. I mean, I come to this because I've been looking at one tiny part, just one little part of the city budget, because it's not too late to start fighting for next year and preparing ourselves. And I hope that people start doing that, get together with other folks or something. Start asking questions. Start learning to ask better questions. That's what I'm hoping. And I will just leave it there unless you want to ask me something. You probably don't.
Thanks a lot for calling, Pam.
Thanks, Lisa.
We
bye-bye.
Adore you too.
Bye-bye.
Pam, I think if I know her super secret identity, she spent like many years looking at war tax resistance, which is its own really fascinating and dangerous thing. And number to call if you want to participate in our conversation here, Interdependence Day, the fourth of the lie, gigantic benefit for Alicia Jackson at Peninsula Park this afternoon at 3. It's going to be so beautiful at Peninsula Park this afternoon at 3. There's going to be a lot of community groups having wonderful celebrations there. I really encourage people to go. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. We do have a couple things on the table, but I want to bring this up. This just came out from the Oregon Attorney General's Department. You know, we're talking about foreclosure prevention, home support, home defense. We're talking about Alicia Jackson, who had her home unfairly foreclosed by funky banks. Well, let's just call them funky banks, okay? And people have been fighting that. It's almost like a straitjacket on so many levels. But I think that a really other issue that I really want people to start focusing in on is, you know, we talk about the banks all the time, but let's talk about the debt companies. Let's talk about all these different entities that pop out of the woodwork to capitalize on debt. And Ajami, you talked a little bit earlier about all the ways that people are stealing money around housing, but I want to even enlarge that in debt in general, because the student loans, it's like, what the heck are we doing with young people? I work with someone who, from what I understand, she's got $100,000 student debt for getting a master's degree, right, which I value. It's a wonderful thing. But that, it's almost like the government is, I don't know, again, straitjacketing people who are trying to make their lives better. Anyway, this is July 3rd. Debt settlement company barred from doing business in Oregon as part of state lawsuit. The Oregon Department of Justice and the Oregon Department of Consumer and Business Services have obtained a court order prohibiting World Law Debt and several affiliate companies from doing business in the state. The two agencies on Monday sued World Law Debt, accusing the Texas Debt Settlement Company. Ooh, this has everything to do with sort of what happened to Alicia Jackson. All these different companies that you've never heard of before piled onto her. They got her debt. They sold it to hit this person, their brother-in-law, who knows, trying to track who actually owned the paper on that house was wacky. But here, this one, though, World Law Debt. These companies are like, they're like vultures that prey. This specific one was really preying on senior citizens, okay? The lawsuit alleges that of the $1.5 million World Law Debt collected from Oregon clients, it actually paid just $275,000 to their creditors and retained more than $960,000 in fees. The state obtained a temporary restraining order Tuesday prohibiting them from doing any more business in Oregon. But they're really looking at World Law Debt came to Oregon in 2009, offering it to help debt-burdened Oregonians negotiate with their creditors. There's all kinds of reasons that people have debt. Some of it's credit card debt. Some of it's funky debt relating to their homes. Even, I feel as though this is what was with Alicia, is she got a home repair.
Right?
Some of these things, it's like we all talk about the foreclosures and the mortgages and stuff like that. All these things can happen with any kind of debt. And so these companies come out of the woodwork and they just start dealing here, dealing there. Can you talk about that a little bit, Ajama?
Yeah.
A lot of people think, oh, somebody called earlier this year and said, well, I understand that Alicia used her house as an ATM and it's all her fault. Well, talk about that. What are the caveats
people,
with these debt things?
You know, you hear this all the time. I mean, a lot of people, again, we get this stuff programmed into us. So you hear people say all the time, well, people are, they're buying boats, they're going on vacations with their houses. But the thing people are not thinking about is people have always done that. And that's not a crime to do that as long as you pay it back.
Even the government wants us to know
that
being consumers actually helps the economy. Go ahead.
Right. So the problem is not that people are doing that. The problem is that conditions are being created so that people are having a very difficult time being able to pay the loan back for a number of reasons. Of course, the one aspect of that, a major aspect, is the economy is tanked, so people are losing jobs. But even in instances where people are not losing income, the loans have been set up with tricky math so that people are being deceived into what they actually have and are finding themselves not able to fulfill the obligation because they have terms and conditions that they didn't understand they had. And some people will come and say, well, they should have knew what they signed when they signed it. But I bet 99.9% of the people listening and not listening who have a mortgage could not explain to you and me right now what simple interest financing is. It's in their mortgage contract. They don't know what it is. They signed it. You know, half the marriages end in divorce. You sign that. You know, so this argument about you always have to know and live to what you sign, obviously that's a irrelevant and bankrupt argument. This is a situation where people are being tricked and defrauded. They're going into these situations thinking that they're talking to people who are going to give them good advice and represent their interests. And in reality, they're talking to people who are trying to take advantage of them and exploit them. So, you know, that's the first piece. The other piece that you mentioned is these companies that are operating at 30,000 feet that we don't even know of. It's really like It's like the gangster movie you watch where someone borrows money from the mob family member, and then the mob hires a hitman. You don't even know anything about this hitman or that they're after you and they're trying to kill you.
Like you've never heard of them.
Never heard of them.
Go ahead.
And that's what's happening now is that you have these companies like Tri-Guild International. No one's heard of them. They're a company that has 50 offices in the United States, Europe, and Canada, and they're linked to the hospitality industry. They're linked to the company that owns like La Quinta Inn and Hampton Inn. But this is a company that engages in debts. They take up property. They own about 30 properties that they've taken in terms of recovering people's assets here in Portland alone, just in Northeast Portland alone. They've taken over 30 properties from banks and finance companies that were not able to retain those assets. And what they do is they take those, they turn around and flip them and sell them, and they use very heavy-hitting and hard-handed tactics to do that. And there are tons of companies like that operating that people have no idea the extent of which kicking people out of their living quarters has become an industry in and of itself.
And just really briefly, and I'm going to return to this. A month ago, National Mortgage Settlement to send $23.6 million to foreclosed Oregonians. The big loan servicers, I'm skipping down in this press release from the Oregon Department of Justice, the big loan services agree to the payments, about $1.5 billion nationally, to compensate borrowers for widespread mortgage servicing abuses that that surfaced after the housing bust, the housing crash brought with it revelations of fraudulent foreclosures, robo-signed mortgage documents, and notoriously difficult and confusing loan modification processes for people trying to stay in their homes. I'm going to return to this because this is a burning, gnarly thing, and this settlement is completely inadequate. But we are live in Studio 2. Here on the 4th of July with Ajamu Umi. We're talking about the big benefit this afternoon, cookout, a fabulous outdoor event to benefit Alicia Jackson. It's at 3 p.m. in Peninsula Park, and folks are raising money to build her a sustainable off-grid water system. I think we'll get back to that. And we're tossing this out to you guys, listeners. How are you celebrating the day today? And or are you someone who's trapped in a foreclosure thing? Do you have a mortgage story to tell? 503-231-8187. We're here to the top of the hour. Please don't wait until 3 minutes before 9 to call, because we really want to bring people's voices on the air. And we have Rose. Is that right, Rose?
Yes, it is right.
What's
Thank
going
you.
On, Rose?
Thanks for the show. Well, there's so many questions and so many answers that, you know, it's, I don't want to take up that much time. So I kind of scribbled out what I actually wanted to say. Well, one thing I see that's wrong is the elections. Again, it boils down to elections of the people that we elect into our government, whether it be local or whether it be national. The vote is for sale. And without that changing, I don't think anything else that we're talking about will really ever change. Now, as far as the Egyptian thing that the gentleman brought up, I've been following that, and I think that's really great. But, you know, in order to have an armed revolution, you first of all have to have your majority of your people having life so bad, that they don't care if they go to jail. They don't even care if they die. That's how bad it gets. And that's how bad those people felt in Egypt, and they need the army on their side. If we did that in this country right now, we'd be squashed. You know, there's just not enough of us that feel this way, this revolutionary way, anyway, to not be squashed. And also, the other thing is that we fear almost everything. The people that have mortgages and that are in homes right now are in fear of losing them, even if they're not losing them. The people that have lost them are in fear of being on the street. The people on the street, well, what are they fearing? They're fearing the guy sleeping next to them, you know, on Burnside Bridge. I call it Hotel Burnside. You know, their fears, it's all at different levels. The fear in this country just runs amok.
All right.
And that's by design. That's not an accident. And the communities, as far as the communities, well, you know, one of the things that I've lived in communes. I've lived collectively, you know, trying to do everything, you know, with everyone. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, as far as debt goes, we should have another form of payoff for debt. Students can't get a job because they don't have any experience, even if they have an education. So why can't they work it off at something else, you know, something the city needs or whatever, you know, a weekend, a day or whatever. You know, we need some other type of system to pay besides a monetary system.
All right, Rose.
And, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, if you don't address things at the grassroots level, and you don't get people that are sitting in their houses with two or three extra bedrooms to want to, you know, I told this to some friends of mine because I do own a house.
All right, Rose, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You know, I just want to put this out technically, and I still think that this exists. Actually, one of the things that Obama did right, someone, if I'm incorrect, please call me back. There's actually a deal where if you commit to getting a job in a nonprofit sector, there's a name for this program, and Obama actually started it for students. If you commit to getting a job in the nonprofit sector and work in that job for 10 years, you can get your student debt forgiven. So I'm going to look that up. I know that's radical. We covered that at the newspaper that I work at. Rose, she pulled a lot of stuff off the stove, put it right on the table. I agree with Rose. When I do hear people say, yay, revolution, yay. And yet, what it looks like to me is that things are so bad, people are dying, and that's where the revolution comes from. And I don't want to wish that condition on anyone. So I avoid the urge to go, yay, revolution, because you know that people are dying, people are losing everything, bad things are happening, and that's how it it takes place. That's how it rolls out. But that's why I'm also interested in going to this place where we're talking about, like, how bad can poverty get in the United States? Mm-hmm. I think that we saw the Great Society, you know, these programs, Social Security and stuff like that, created in the 20th century because the president really did worry that people were going to rise up. But, right. I mean, we live in a police state. This is like a Taliban country. And, I mean, right. You're going to say something.
I think that political education is the key. I think there's a woeful lack of understanding of what revolution is, especially in this society. And, you know, I appreciate the lady's comments, but I think if you study revolutions in history, it's not a situation where everybody's poor and that's when it happens. It's a question of consciousness. And, you know, I would encourage people to look at the situation in the Middle East and Egypt very carefully. You know, I would argue that what's taking place right now is not a revolution over there. It's a mass uprising. And if people don't know the difference, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And you need to know the difference, because in order to evaluate it properly, that's what we're talking about. And you know, any of these issues that we're bringing up, the majority of, if you look at these issues, whether you're talking about student debt, where you're talking about debt in general, housing, whether you're talking about socialism, communism, any of these issues, if people just think about the people you're going to be with today, 99% of the people you're talking to really don't know anything about any of those things. And that is the strength that keeps the power structure in power here. And this is what we find is the main thing that has to be addressed, is we have to begin to understand what's actually going on in this world and what's right. You know, if you talk to police agencies, if you talk to courts here, they'll tell you our job is not to do what's right, it's to enforce the law. And so we operate with that mindset. We don't even understand what justice is or how to enforce that or how to make that come into existence. So, you know, this is what we're working to change, because when people say grassroots, that to me is not grassroots to me is not a political process where, you know, you have to have millions of dollars to get in office. That I don't see how that's grassroots, because the majority of us don't have millions of dollars. So I don't see how those interests represent my interests. It's like, you know, the late Kwame Ture said, the Democratic Party is the only political party where homeless people and millionaires belong to the same party and think they have the same interests. So, you know, I think when you say grassroots to me, you're talking about something totally different. You're talking about a situation where everyday people are empowered to make decisions that impact their lives. And I don't think that's going to happen through the political process we have in place right now. It's only going to happen through mass political organization, day-to-day work, tireless work, but it can happen if we continue to do the work, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
All right, and this is KBOO Community Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. This is Talk Radio on the 4th of July. We're live in Studio 2 with Ajamu Umi. We're talking about today's benefit for Alicia Jackson, 3 p.m. in Peninsula Park. That's in North Portland. Folks are looking to raise money for her, and we have a website you can go to. Maybe you can't get there. Maybe you live far away. Go to housingisforeveryone.org. That should be fairly easy to remember, right? Housingisforeveryone.org. Consistently, we have some people who listen to these airwaves that are not able to be digitally connected. There's plenty of people who say, no, we got to go somewhere. We got to do something. Well, this is your day. This is your place. Peninsula Park has a gigantic rose garden. It's got a wonderful fountain. Celebrating 100 years. They're going to be having music. Speaker Minds is going to be there. Mike Crenshaw. It's going to be really incredible. And anyway, so we've got another 13 minutes or so of talk radio this morning. We're talking about what are you going to do today? And also, what's your take on the foreclosure issues? I'm going to read a little bit more from this settlement that the state of Oregon got from this foreclosure fraud thing, which is, you'll see. Anyway, we're waiting for your call, though, listeners. 503-231-8187 if you want to weigh in. And we have Linda on the phone. Linda, what's going on?
Oh, good morning. Regarding 4th of July, I would just like to say, as the mom of a Gulf War vet and partner of a now-deceased Vietnam vet, the 4th of July is probably the worst day of the year for these folks. The explosions, the noise, the commotion going on all night long is very, very traumatizing. And I know folks worry about dogs in 4th of July, but our veterans suffer greatly. And I just wanted to put that out for folks to think about.
Linda, what are you going to do today?
Stay at home.
Okay. Let me ask you this. So you're talking about your family. You're talking about your son, your husband who's passed away. What could we do to support you? Is there something we could do to support your family? What do you need?
Well, I suspect that probably, I know people are going to be setting off their mini bombs and firecrackers, but to be just a little bit respectful about the time frame and not be setting these things off midnight, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, all night long.
Okay. All right.
It's very, very traumatizing for our young military people.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for calling, Linda.
Thank you.
You know, I saw on the Newswire yesterday that the people that made the film White House Down, okay? Mm-hmm. White House Down is a major motion picture with Jamie Foxx and that guy that was in the male stripper movie. I forgot his name. And it's about, a misunderstood special operations guy who happens to be touring the White House with his daughter when, God forbid me saying this, communist or something, terrorists come in and they try to take over the White House. Anyway, yesterday the people that made that movie said that today active duty and retired veterans have a free pass to see that movie. Mm. Okay. And my first thought was, that might be the very last thing that a veteran might want to see. Although I could be wrong, you know, all kinds of veterans, all kinds of people. I come from a military family, too. And we have a couple callers. We're going to go to the phone line while I look up the actual address of Peninsula Park. It's at Albina.
Rosa Parks
and Ainsworth. Okay.
Yeah.
Ainsworth, Albina, and Rosa Parks. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines. We got Scott on the phone. What's going on, Scott?
Oh, not much. You know, just listening to the radio and wish I could be out there. But anyways, you know, I had a comment about all this, you know, like say in the 60s, and even before 60s with civil rights and all that springing up. And then go to an old quote from Niccolo Machiavelli, you know, that, you know, people are easily persuaded, and when it's found out that they can no longer be easily persuaded, then they use force, you know, talking about whatever structure of government they might have. So anyways, like with Snowden nowadays and a lot more, that when the information comes out now, I guess truth just hurts them too much. So it's sad days indeed, and, you know, then, you know, how are we celebrating 4th of July today? Well, yeah, you know. best wishes to all of us that are not the 1%. And so anyways, thanks.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Scott, I hope you find some loved ones to spend the holiday with. I'm going to spend the holiday with my mother-in-law and going to hang out at home and pull the weeds out of my garden and maybe head down to Peninsula Park they're billing it as the 4th of the lie. Actually, this issue of the 4th of July, the 4th of the lie, that's a national thing. I mean, can you talk about that a little bit, Ashama?
Yeah, I mean, and it ties in directly with this housing justice issue. You know, if people, my family, we've never celebrated this day. It's not a day of celebration for us. It's a day of mourning. If you do the math, it doesn't even make any sense for me to celebrate it. I mean, if you do the math, the Emancipation Proclamation wasn't even signed until 87 years after the Declaration of Independence. So, you know, anybody that looked like me, my parents are from Louisiana. Anybody that looked like me in Louisiana was still property enslaved during the Declaration of Independence. So this day has absolutely nothing to do with me. And it's actually a slap in the face for people to walk around and expect me to be looking at today like it's some sort of day of freedom and independence when my ancestors were property like dogs during this day. So, you know, that's irrefutable history. And then today, when you look at what's happening with housing and people like Alicia, whose houses are being stolen by the banking system, the same banking system that got its start from investing in slavery, it's a direct connection. So it's appropriate to use today to raise this question of housing justice.
And we have another caller. Let's go back to that phone line. We have Marie on the phone. What's going on, Marie?
Yes, Lisa, wonderful program and a couple things. On the housing, let me just talk about, I'll be in the parade in a little bit up here in Hood River, but before that on housing, when we mentioned earlier about Habitat for Humanity, which is a wonderful, wonderful program, mm-hmm. but I think they need to switch to cob houses because I know Habitat for Humanity people talking about all the hammering, all the wood used, and I think they should just go cob house. And one more thing, I've heard of places in Africa where they're doing Habitat for Humanity houses. I looked at them online. They had a lot of wood. They were in villages where they were doing the old tribal way was the mud hut, which actually, in case of earthquake, is safer. So I think Habitat for Humanity go for cob. And then two more things, and I'm done, Lisa, okay? Lisa, one time I called in on housing for Hood River, and I said there was apartments where the managers advertised as being green, but people that planted vegetables, they made them dig them up.
I remember that.
And flowers instead. And you never got me back. And I'll leave the engineer my name.
Okay, sorry. I'll fire my executive assistant. Keep going.
But anyway, call me. I was waiting to talk to you. And then the last thing, so I'm already in my parade clothes, and I'm going to be wearing my red shirt for the anti-coal train. So that's what I'm doing for 4th of July. And this program is wonderful, Lisa, and yay, housing is a human need.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
You're welcome.
Anti-coal trains. Oh, my gosh. That's a big one. That's a big one. Really quickly, I want to say here, too, I took this crazy trip to Azerbaijan like a month ago, and I went to a petrochemical conference, and it really made me hit a wall. I've really been kind of distraught since then because it was sponsored by BP. The entire oil industry was there. There were a lot of elected officials, and it just and there were also people there from the Azerbaijan government. They were dictators. It made me realize what we're all up against. We're up against a really big thing. Mm-hmm. It's way bigger than us, or is it? Okay, mm-hmm. So we have a few minutes left. I know that sometimes we do feel overwhelmed by like the responsibility or the effort to make people see housing differently. Like mm-hmm. housing is like water, it's like air, it's like mm-hmm. you have to have it. Like why are we putting such a price tag on it? These issues are huge. But it's true that I think the interdependence part of it, when we go to say, for example, to Peninsula Park this afternoon at 3, everybody can put a little bit of money or resources down to support Alicia Jackson. That's the antidote to despair. I mm-hmm. have to put this out. We do have more power than we realize. And it's scary when we look at the monster sort of a thing. But we can make a change. And I just really quickly, that national mortgage settlement to send $23.6 million to foreclosed Oregonians. This is from a month ago. Checks for $1,480. Were mailed to about 16,000 people in Oregon. It's like when we look at the issues that Ajami was talking about with the fraudulent, these fraudulent companies that are ripping people off. You know, these companies were popped by the federal government. They had to pay a $1.5 billion fine. Cost of doing business. Imagine how much money they actually made.
Yeah,
if
definitely.
People are only getting checks for $1,480. Yeah. I mean, each one of these people probably lost $100,000. I'm putting that out.
Right.
Ajamu, okay, we're rolling out. We're closing out this show. What's the most important thing that people should know about the work that housingisforeveryone.org is doing, how to plug in, and the wonderful event this afternoon?
I think people have to – we have to think in terms of getting involved on whatever level we can. If we have an hour a week, donate that hour to doing work, making phone calls, mailing things, emails, raising money, whatever – we are the people that make the difference. You know, people constantly reference the civil rights movement, but yet when we talk about solutions, we talk about voting for someone as if we forgot that we just talked about the civil rights movement. The beauty of the civil rights movement is that it was everyday people who got involved to make change, and they understood that they had to empower themselves to make that change. And every piece of civil rights legislation that exists today came from that movement, not the other way around. The movement didn't come from the legislation. The legislation and even the people who were in office came from that movement. So the problem we have today is not that we don't have the right people in office or that we're not voting. We don't have a movement to hold those people accountable. So until we do the work to establish that, we're not going to be able to have any ability to make any change in that venue. We can't have the same 20, 30 people going to City Hall thinking that's what's going to make the change. The ability to make the change is when there are thousands of people who City Hall knows if they don't do the right thing, those people are going to create havoc in the city. So we've got to get people involved, joining organizations, participating in those groups, and making a contribution to make change. And once we do that, we'll see these problems change overnight.
Right on. And so the 4th of July, it's this afternoon, 3 p.m., Peninsula Park. That's at North Albina between Rosa Parks and Ainsworth. Bring a little money. Put a little cash down on the picnic table over there to support Alicia Jackson. That's it for our show. Thanks to our guest, Ajamu Umi. More at housingisforeveryone.org. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.FM. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on this show. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. Dudes, they are going to be at the Waterfront Park headlining this afternoon at the Waterfront Park. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for Political Perspectives.
Good morning. It is 9 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is Independence Day. And coming up in about an hour, it'll be Air Cascadia. Actually, at 10:30. We get a combination show, apparently, at 9 o'clock, a special edition of Press Watch combined with Fight the Empire. Today, hosts Teresa Mitchell and Per Fogring will compare the American dream with the Chinese dream. And then at 10, Air Cascadia is off today, so we'll jump right into Flashpoints, investigative news journalism with host Dennis Bernstein. And then at 11, we'll hear Between the Covers with host Jennifer Kemp. Today's guest is Washington State author Scott Elliott, who has just released a new novel entitled Temple Grove. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk, hosted by Patricia Welch. Today, we'll feature an encore edition of our interview with legendary author Maya Angelou. In her new book, Mom and Me and Mom, Angelou shares the deepest personal story of her life, her relationship with her mother. That's all coming up, but once again, coming up next, a special edition of Press Watch combined with Fight the Empire, right after this on KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part